tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I am your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we're speaking with Adam Spencer. Adam is the founder of Furlanthropy. Furlanthropy is the first charity-owned and operated crowdfunding platform for any animal-related cause. Furlanthropy proactively protects donors through their unprecedented integrity. Every fundraising campaign is verified. All fundraised are distributed directly to the need, i.e. a veterinarian hospital. All donations are tax deductible and eligible. So, Adam, I would like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much, Stacey.
So, first and foremost, I can't wait to dive into this because money does make the world go round in this community cat TNR space. But first, before we do that, how'd you get to be so passionate about cats?
Well, thank you again so much for having me today. Greatly appreciate it. I carry a very special place in my heart for Kobe. Kobe was a rescue that came into my heart and into my life. Oh, goodness, this is going to make me sound old, at least 25, 30 years ago. And Kobe lived a long and happy life for over 20 years. And I know your listeners can understand when you explain how cats have such a special bond with us. And one of my favorite moments or memories, I should say, was just a difficult season in my life. And I remember laying there in bed and just thinking and praying and crying at the moment. And Kobe reached over with his little paw and he wiped my tears with his paw. And it was a moment that I'll treasure forever. They have a way of just speaking to our hearts, and I miss him terribly. And so everything I do with Furlanthropy is in tribute to him.
Wow. Great story. I mean, we all have lots of cats that touch our lives and our hearts, but then it's those memories that are just so meaningful because you go back to them and you're like, that's my why. You know, this is my why. This is why I'm here. And, you know, we met earlier this year during the VMX conference, actually, which is a conference for veterinary hospitals, veterinary practices. So we didn't meet in your typical animal welfare space. So tell us a little bit more. I know we described it in the intro, but tell me a little bit more about Furlanthropy and why should our community cat groups, our trap, neuter, return, rescue, nonprofits, our small grassroots organizations, why should we be interested in Furlanthropy?
Sure. Well, what a great opportunity for folks like yourself who are passionate about the welfare of cats and breaking down those barriers that prevent pet parents from often being able to afford care for their pet, or just pets that maybe not don't have a parent and are orphaned and in need of care. We are a unique charity, very innovative in this space. My background is a fundraising executive for many different worthy causes. And we had rescued, my wife and I rescued a pet and later learned that her original owners had to forfeit her because they couldn't afford her life-saving care. Thankfully, the veterinarian that received the pet did the care, and then we ended up adopting. And so I like to say, really, she chose us as much as we chose her. But it was from that experience that I really opened my eyes to the tremendous need out there for really a triage of services to help take care of the financial needs of these special blessings. And I was surprised, quite honestly, that something like Furlanthropy did not already exist. There are 2,100 crowdfunding platforms in existence, and probably the most popular and most well-known is GoFundMe. But all of those are for-profit owned. And so to answer your question, why someone should trust and should use Furlanthropy instead, it's because we are a nonprofit. And because of that, there are certain rights and protections that you have as a donor that you otherwise won't have by giving to a for-profit company. So I, for example, am what's called a CFRE, so a certified fundraising executive. So I'm bound by a code of ethics that for-profit professionals are not necessarily bound by in this space. And so you see a lot of fraud, a lot of scams out there. And so we want to protect donors as well as our clients. to have a safe space that's trustworthy and that is 100% tax deductible, where you can donate or create a philanthropy campaign and raise money. And you mentioned one of those distinctives, a reason why veterinarians and animal hospitals and clinics and rescues love using our platform is when the money is raised, we send it directly to you, wherever the expense is located, rather than to the person who's raising the money. And so that just ensures that the funds go where they're supposed to go. And of course, our donors love that as well.
You know, when you think about your clients for this product, you know, talk about paying the veterinarians directly. When you envisioned this, did you think it was going to be like Fido's fund at XYZ veterinary practice? And please donate to Fido's fund. And it is a philanthropy product. Or did you envision it like, I am trying to raise funds to afford to spay neuter 30 barn cats that are down the street, and I need access to veterinary care, and I'm not even sure if philanthropy would cover. Would they cover food, traps, supplies, or is it just strictly like a veterinary reimbursement program?
That's a great question. Those different options that you gave, all of those are applicable. When I originally envisioned philanthropy, it was from the lens of a pet parent or a caregiver. So someone who's rescuing a lot of cats at once, it's a huge expense. It's a huge financial burden. And so we wanted to empower that individual and a point of need, whenever and wherever that need is, in that moment, to be able to right away go to our website and begin fundraising for that need. And so there's a lot of wonderful programs out there. There's other charities that are out there, but oftentimes it requires jumping through a few hoops and a few steps and sometimes a waiting period to get those funds. With philanthropy, it's immediate. So you can start raising money immediately. We had someone on Friday who created a philanthropy campaign. There's many of them on our website, but for special cats and that has cancer. And within 24 hours, started raising money. And 3 days later, had $1,000 raised. And so it really empowers that caregiver to start raising money right away. And I will specify that philanthropy, we're blessed with donors who just say, you know what, we just care about cats. Here's a donation and you just help cats that are in need. And so we are able to actually contribute to those campaigns as well.
And then what happens if a campaign either doesn't get completely funded or gets overfunded?
In the overage situation, if a goal, let's say, is $1,000 and it raises $1,100, anything above and beyond that will go to other campaigns that are less successful or maybe less popular. And so when you give, you're actually contributing to not just that campaign, but to other campaigns as well. 90 cents of every dollar goes directly to that specific need, that specific campaign. But we do glean 10%. And from that 10%, we then are able to help other pets in crisis as well. And then if there's a situation where it doesn't raise as much money as anticipated or as quickly as anticipated, we can keep that campaign open. And one of the beautiful things about philanthropy is you can raise funds, not just for current or future expenses, but you can raise funds and be reimbursed for past expenses as well. Because we really want to alleviate that financial burden so that pet parents don't have to carry that burden, or caregivers or veterinarians or animal hospitals, that nobody has to carry that burden long term. And so it's just a great option if you're in that situation.
So you just mentioned 10%. Is that administrative fees, or you said 10% then can get reapplied in other directions? So just, I guess, the fees question, that's always what people want to know.
No, absolutely. And being a fundraising professional for many years, I always advise folks when you're giving to charity, 10 to 20% is considered in philanthropy an acceptable amount. When you start seeing charities that are gleaning 30, 40, 50, I've even heard outrageous stories of 90% going to administrative costs and very little actually going to the mission. So I always want to be wary of that. But with philanthropy, 90 cents of every dollar goes directly to that mission and to that specific campaign. We do glean 10% for what we call it to be used where needed most. And so if there are administrative costs, we can take care of those costs that way. But if there's also just another pet parent or a philanthropy campaign that hasn't reached its goal and we want to be able to step in and help that situation, we can.
So I'm going to ask, the 10% includes your transaction fees too for whoever your merchant providers are?
No, actually, when you click on the button to donate, there'll be a button there which says, I want to cover processing fees. So you just click that button and then you can either decline that or you can include with your donation the processing fees as well.
Got you. Okay. All right. So somebody can choose to cover to pay the processing fees, or it gets included within that donation. So that would also be an extra charge that would be pulled out after, if they declined it, it doesn't come into your 10%. Just trying to full disclosure here.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yep, absolutely.
And I know I've read a lot of articles saying most people will choose to include, to pay for those fees. And so, you know, from my perspective as someone who's trying to raise money, oftentimes that's not as much of a concern, because I have been quite impressed at how many people do check that button and say, oh, yes, I'll cover those fees, no problem.
Yes, ma'am. And one of the other things too, just as a way of comfort for your donors to know as well, you know, I don't get paid. We're driven by volunteers. We do have some contractual staff, but our operations are very, very lean. And we do that on purpose because we want as much money as possible that's raised to go directly to preventing the suffering of pets. I would also encourage your listeners to do their homework. You can go to the IRS website and look at 990s of other nonprofits in city. How much does their CEO make? What's their salary? And so you can kind of do your homework there to decide whether or not you feel like that's ethical or not.
Every day, cats are born without homes, and the cycle keeps repeating unless we step up with real solutions. That's where spay-neuter comes in, and why the 2025 United Spay Alliance online conference on October 11th and 12th is so critical. This two-day virtual event, presented by the United Spay Alliance and the Community Cats podcast, brings together leading experts to share proven strategies for stopping pet overpopulation at the source. You'll learn how to build or expand affordable spay-neuter programs, secure funding, collaborate with local officials, and create sustainable solutions that save more cats. If we don't act, shelters stay overwhelmed, rescues stay full, and cats pay the price. But with the right tools and knowledge, you can be part of turning the tide. Registration includes access to recordings and resources. Don't wait. This is your chance to be part of the solution. Visit communitycatspodcast.com/UnitedSpay to register today. That's communitycatspodcast.com/UnitedSpay to register for this important event.
When we launched the Community Cats podcast, our goal was simple: share stories and strategies to help cat lovers turn their passion into action. But something amazing happened. Our community grew, and so did our mission. Over the years, we've added webinars, conferences, certification courses, downloadable tools, and a whole lot more to support people who care about cats. So it's time for our name to reflect everything we do. The podcast isn't going anywhere, but our overall platform is rebranding as Community Cat Central. It's the same team, the same heart, and the same commitment, just with a fresh new look and even better ways to help you take action for cats in your community. You'll start seeing updates soon, including a brand new website, smarter email tools, and resources that are easier to access and use. We're so grateful to have you on this journey with us, and we can't wait to show you what's next. Are you getting your message across to your entire community? Do they know what programs you offer and what they can do to help? Learn more about how to effectively market your organization, or just sharpen your skills with a free self-paced marketing course, The Fundamentals of Marketing on Maddie's University. The course is designed to provide a basic understanding of marketing and provide you with templates and tools to elevate and improve your organization's brand, voice, and audience, and have fun while doing it. You'll receive a strategic marketing plan template to download free. Go to university.maddiesfund.org and search marketing to enroll now. So I know when I was at the VMX conference and I picked up your literature, on the literature was this logo there. You have PetSmart Charities logo right on your promotional materials about philanthropy. And being a brand new nonprofit, it's really hard to get an organization, especially one of that size, to be supportive of your work and a contributor to your efforts. So just curious if you can share more about that PetSmart Charities grant.
Yeah, so thankful for PetSmart Charities. We had an opportunity to meet Dr. Robin James 2 years ago at VMX, and that started a conversation about our innovative platform and how we wanted to make a difference in providing access to care. And so that conversation continued over several months, and we're fortunate to be awarded a grant for over $200,000. From PetSmart. And in fact, the same time that I met you at VMX, I was honored to have a chance to meet with Dr. Amy Gilbert, the CEO of PetSmart as well. And just to see their excitement about what we're doing. Of course, the funds are wonderful, but it's their endorsement that means so much to us. Because as you say, we are brand new, and folks may be thinking, well, is this charity going to stick around? They're brand new. So to have their endorsement is a huge shot in the arm for us. And grateful. We know that they've committed over $200 million over 5 years to address this access to care issue. And so we're fortunate to be a small but significant part to us in being able to help that issue.
I'm going to circle back again to the crowdfunding. You know, so much of that does involve the word crowd, and you are a young and new organization. Do you have a strategic plan for how to grow your, I guess, your social footprint? Many folks are like, well, I've got like three friends. So how does philanthropy help the person who might not have a big digital footprint? How are you growing your digital footprint, maybe to help those that don't have a big opportunity in that space?
I can tell you that we have some really amazing conversations and some amazing partnerships coming on board, stemming from our time at VMX that I'm super excited about. I wish I could give you more specific details on those, but shortly you're going to see philanthropy a lot more exposure for us, and we're going to be in front of millions of pet parents, which we're ecstatic about. And so to answer your question, we are certainly excited about partnering with other organizations that have a larger footprint than us that have been around for a long time, like a PetSmart Charities, where we can share our resources and share these campaigns as they go live. We still are building our platform on all the social media platforms, and being brand new, and we are still building that following. So we would love for your listeners to go ahead and like us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and follow us there. But it definitely, there's a platform that requires the person who creates the campaign to have some elbow grease in there and be able to share this out. You'd be amazed, folks, that you may not even know really close. It could be a neighbor. It could be just someone that you don't even know who just loves cats and just wants to give in tribute or a memory or an honor of their own cat or their own experience. And so don't be shy if you feel like you don't have enough friends or enough family members that would give. You know, the world's a big space. And so just posting it on your social media, allowing other people to share it, we share it, it'll give us some great exposure. And you can also download and email your campaign as well. And or you can just have a conversation over the phone with somebody even, and they can mail a check in. There's different ways that they can give through stocks or donor advised fund, other gift vehicles that people can give from, and we can apply those funds to your campaign.
You mentioned giving gifts of stock or donor advised funds, and for some folks, that's very much a confusing topic. So it may even be in their best interest to create a campaign to just even accept those items so that they don't have to deal with it on their own. Coming from personal experience, having to set up multiple brokerage accounts or gift accounts at brokerage houses to receive stock, it's an accounting thing. And so it may make sense for an organization, even if they are their own 501c3, to set up a campaign with you to receive those kinds of donations.
That's such a great point. We had several folks come to us at our booth there at VMX and expressing some really beautiful missions that they're already a part of in their own communities, and with dreams and aspirations of forming charity or a nonprofit, an organization that would have some structure to help their mission of rescuing cats in their community. And you know, with philanthropy, because we're already a 501c3 registered charity, all you need to do is, if you have a dream or a desire, or you're actively already helping cats and pets in your community, all you have to do is go to philanthropy and create a philanthropy campaign, and you can name it whatever you'd like. And just tell us what those expenses are for, and we can raise money for your cause. And so it allows you to do your mission right away without having to do all those other steps that you mentioned.
So Adam, as a fundraising professional, I have to ask you some advice. Many of our trap, neuter, return organizations are very small. They're very grassroots organizations, and maybe 6 to 12 folks that are working hard, to doing the best they can, but they're responding to calls all the time. How would you advise a small group to help them become comfortable with fundraising and convincing them too that you can fundraise for spay-neuter, which many organizations feel like spay-neuter is very challenging to fundraise for versus the cute little fluffy kitten that gets adopted out of the shelter?
Well, that's such a great question. And you know, I'll say specifically, and again, I'm from the fundraising background and a pet parent, but I understand the need for prevention. And if we can go upstream and try to reach these pets and negate some of the harder challenges that come down the road for pets that aren't spayed or neutered, I believe donors want to give, they want to invest in something, And so they're not just throwing money at a problem, but they're investing in a viable solution. And these amazing veterinarians and veterinary professionals were on the front lines rescuing and taking care of these cats. Wow, that's inspiring. And so I would encourage anybody who's maybe nervous about asking, you know, what you're really doing is you're inviting people to touch your mission. And I often tell folks that the number one reason anyone gives to any charity or any cause, believe it or not, it's not the mission. The number one reason anyone ever gives is to fulfill something within themselves, within their own heart. And so for me personally, I give to a lot of different causes, animal-related causes, including philanthropy. But I give because I miss my cat. So I give in tribute to Kobe. And so for someone else, they're not going to give if they don't trust your mission or they don't believe in it. But they may give really because it comes from a different place in their heart. They understand the power and the importance of having these cats rescued and having them spayed or neutered. And so allowing folks to give from their heart, telling the story and touching their hearts is so important. And we also want to make it easy for your organization. And not everybody's in a position to give financially, but everybody's in a position to be an ambassador, to tell your story, to share your mission, to connect with your heart and these precious cats who need love and care. And so I invite you to, on your own social media pages or even your website, to put a link to philanthropy and invite people to be an ambassador by going to philanthropy, creating a philanthropy campaign and naming it after the mission or the name of the organization or the cause, and then they can start fundraising. So from a fundraising standpoint, what's better than $100 from one person? It would be 10 people giving $10, because then you just have 10 more people who are passionate about what you're doing and telling their friends and their circle as well. So it's a great way to multiply giving in a very quick way and to tell your story and broaden exposure for your mission.
Adam, if folks are interested in finding out more about the work that you do, how would they do that?
Sure. Come to philanthropy.org. There's a video there and some other resources. And there's two options there. You can click a button to start a philanthropy campaign for the mission that you care about or a pet that's in need. You can also donate to any campaigns that are live, or you can make an unrestricted gift to philanthropy for us to be able to use where needed most in these campaigns. We'd love to talk to you about our Forever Legacy Society. If you have interest in plan giving and other gift options, non-cash asset options to give, every single dollar that's donated is 100% tax deductible. And every gift that you give makes a difference. And so once again, I just thank you for the opportunity and encourage folks to follow us on social media. And again, the website is philanthropy.org.
Do you have any last thoughts for our listeners before we close out today?
Thank you. You know, thank you for what you do. Thank you for the opportunity to share today. And I just encourage everyone to pause for a cause and make a difference today.
Adam, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest on my show, and I hope we'll have you on again in the future.
Thank you so much, Stacey.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.